So, to give backstory to the audio recording just above, hit his head, that is based off of an actual event that happened this last Thursday. That was yesterday. Wow. And I babysit for a family, and they have a 7-year-old boy and a three-year-old boy. A 7-year-old boy was downstairs, I believe, and I was doing dishes, and I hear a pretty good smack, like a thonk, like, and I wait, like I stop and I wait for about 3 seconds, and then the crying starts. I'm like, okay. So I go in, and he's standing in the bathroom, and he's crying. And how I approach a kid who has hurt themselves in any way, shape, or form. Background further, the way that I was raised effectively by my dad, I don't really remember my childhood. I don't remember anything really before my mom left us when I was about 7. She went to Denver. I hate Denver. And, so I was effectively from the age 7 and on raised by my dad. So there was a lot of very masculine undertones. A lot of, you're tough, you can tough it out, you're fine, stop crying. You're fine. Like, you're fine. Stop it. You're okay. You don't need to cry anymore. It doesn't hurt. You want me to make it hurt? I can make it hurt. And he would do things like, if one hand hurt, he'd be like, do you want it to not hurt? And I'd be like, yeah. So he'd take my other hand and he'd smack it. And he'd be like, does it hurt anymore? And although from a, I guess, not a masochistic, from a, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of funny because, you know, it worked. So I think that technique was humorous when you're older. And you understand that it's humorous, and it's not actually how they're trying to teach you not to cry, but when you're, like, 8, that's not, I don't know, it wasn't conducive to me understanding that crying was okay, and because, and my dad never meant to do it, he never meant to have this, well, I guess he wanted me to be strong, and I basically decided that he didn't know how to raise a girl in the standard stereotypical girl expectations within the 90s United States. So I grew up as a tomboy. There was this one time where it was before mom had left, and we had a porch, and there was a tree that the porch was kind of built around, and there was this little area around the tree. My mom and my dad were inside, and I was playing outside, and my mom stops, and she hears me crying, and I don't remember this, and she goes outside, and she sees that I'm stuck in between the space of the tree and the, I just forgot what it was called, and the porch, and I'm stuck, I can't get out, and I'm crying, and I'm scrapes, because it was a treat, they do that, and she gets me out, and she pulls me in, and she's just like, did you know that she was stuck out there? And he goes, yeah, I knew. And she's like, and you didn't get her out? And he's just like, no, she could have gotten out, she was fine. And so a lot of things were approached in that manner, where I'm tough, I'm good, I'm fine, she's good, she's tough, she's okay, she can deal with it, she's okay. So I was kind of taught not to cry, and it wasn't acceptable to really reveal any emotions that were seen as weak. You had to be strong all the time. So I didn't really cry until high school, when I had some very fortunate friends who decided to be very good friends, and I cried, and I think from then on, I started to realize that crying was okay. I was still struggling with that concept in college, It was a very slow process. And, yeah, even now, depending on counselors and stuff, I will, like, if the counsel feels weird, I automatically hold it back, because they don't, that's, the way that I trust people is not about my story. I could tell you my whole life story, but I don't think you would want to listen to me anymore. But the way that I show my trust is to show you how I actually feel. If a person, if you ever meet me, and I'm actually angry at you, and I'm actually showing anger and aggression, that means one of two things. That means either A, I give a fuck about you, and I trust you not to run away, because I'm showing you how I feel, and I believe that you're not going to leave. I had many people who have done that, where I shared life stories, I shared emotions, and they couldn't take it, and they ran away. And the other option is that I don't give a fuck about you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you like me or not. Fuck off. Go away. Fuck you. All the fucks. All the fucks and no fucks at the same time. So with that, and the boys that I take care of, the first 2 weeks that I was with them, it was extremely stressful, because the older boy, we didn't know, but he had a hyperactive disorder. And he's extremely, extremely smart, extremely sweet. He would just see something and say, I want to do that, and not think about the consequences. So he got in trouble. He got into trouble a lot. And he just did what he wanted to do. And obvious, very, very push against authority, which I can totally relate to, because fuck authority. I have issues with authority, which is funny because I work with the police department, but, you know, whatever. And so I kind of respected him for being so strong and, like, adamant about not listening for certain things, even though it really pissed me off. But eventually, I found a good, but sorry, that's a long story. Anyways, first 2 weeks, the little one, he hurt himself. He was walking into his room and the door was halfway open, and it's the door handle. When you're looking at the door to go into his room, the door handle's on the left, and it opens in. Door's halfway open, so he goes to push it open, and when he pushes, he overcompensates, so he, like, kind of wobbled, and then he wobbled to the left, and then hit his head on a wall, and it bounced. Like, it was a good fucking hard smack, and I burst out laughing so hard. I could not contain myself. It was hilarious. Because it was so funny. Okay, that wasn't the first 2 weeks. Because I was just laughing at him. And I feel bad for laughing. But there was, like, a good 5 seconds where he just kind of had that moment, like, does this hurt? I think this hurts. Yes, it hurts. I'm going to cry now. And then cry. Anyways, first 2 weeks. Sorry. Harley, stay on track. The first 2 weeks, one of them would get hurt, and they would start crying, and I would start yelling at them, and I would tell them to stop crying, like, they need to knock it off, they're fine, and I didn't catch it the first time, and it was bad, I was mean, and I think part of it was I had been so pissed off because I was just in a bad mood because of the older one, but the second or third time that I did it, I realized what, like, major asshole I was, and the fuck that I was doing this shit, and I'm like, okay, I can't do that anymore, that's horrible, I can't do to them what, A, because they're not my kids, but B, that's just unacceptable behavior. I think there's a difference between telling someone, hey, you're tough, it's okay, you got this, and you're tough, stop it, knock it off, like, and I realized it, and I felt so ashamed that I could go back to how I was taught and not realize it, and I apologized to them, and they didn't know what I was talking about at all, but I felt really bad, and then from then, I developed what I do, and I'm not saying that my way is the best way, or that the things that I said before are best or bad or whatever. This is completely my perception and my opinion. But now if they cry or if something bad happens or whatever, I kneel down to their level and I look them in the eyes, and I generally put my hands on their little child biceps. And I just look at them and I say, it's okay. You're fine. It's like, not you're fine. Okay, let's breathe. And then I make them take deep breaths because it's cleansing. When I get really angry and I don't want to be angry, I take breaths and it goes away, because I've trained myself to do that, because otherwise I would explode and rip everybody's faces off. So I do the breath and then I wait. And I just tell them, it's okay, you got this, you know what, you're crying, and that's okay, that's fine. And I wait until they can talk, and then I say, okay, what happened? And have them explain what happened, and it's like, all right, well, can we make sure that doesn't happen again so you don't get hurt? And then I go from there. And then to me, in my style of whatever it is, I am showing my support, that I am there for them if they need me. I am not coddling them, because I'm not holding them against me saying, oh my gosh, my baby, I love you, and all the crazy stuff, which, sorry, I shouldn't say that. I'm not helping them feel weak, and I'm not helping them feel like a victim. I am giving them a chance to look at what happened and choose how they want to make better decisions in the future. I think that it's a good balance, and it's worked out so well, because in that story that I had told, it was actually really funny. It wasn't funny. It was really cute. I had leaned down and I had had my arms on him, and like we did the breathing thing. And then I said, okay, you can cry if you want. And I didn't say it like that. And I said, do you want to keep crying? And he goes, yes. And I go, okay. And I just stood there, and he proceeds to start to get ready to wash his hands, because he had just gotten done going to the bathroom. So I have this kid who's just bawling his fucking face out, and he goes over and he gets his little stool and he puts it next to the sink, because he's three, he's really small, and he turns on the water and gets the soap and washes the soap and then washes his hands off and then puts the stool back, and this entire time he's crying. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, kid, are you serious? Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is adorable. Excuse me. We do a couple more breaths and then he was fine. So that was the context behind that. I know that was kind of whatever. And it was longer in real life, but there you go. Okay, bye.